In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. John 15, Abide in Me. Wow. How exciting it is to know that He wants us to be so close to Him that we are living in Him. And He says, His Word in us. And then the promise, we will bear fruit. And then as time goes along, more fruit, eventually much fruit. When we begin to understand that we're not here to live for ourselves, but to glorify God. You know, there are common mistakes when we're talking about priorities. Remember we said that this chapter talks about discipline, and that's removing sin. Pruning, that's changing priorities. And then abiding, that's changing identities. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Changing identities. So many times we have issues of wrong priorities. What's the order of priority between family and church and work and God? The founder of one of the most successful restaurant chains in our country and even international made the statement, I love God, my wife, and the name of his restaurant. And he said, and when I get to work on Monday, the order reverses. I love my work, then my wife, and then God. That's a priority issue, isn't it? See, God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. God has to be first in my priorities. And if I want to bear fruit, if I want to abide in Christ, then I've got to just simply decide God is going to be number one. Every decision that I make, God, are you pleased with this? The second priority, of course, is family and earning enough money to care for my family. Then the third priority is church. Church. And if I have a misplaced priority, then it's going to be reflected in the way I live. Now, how do I bear fruit? Well, John 12 and verse 24 gives us that answer. If you are there in your Bible, let's notice it. It says in verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone. Oh, see that word abide? It abideth alone. But if that corn of wheat dies, it bringeth forth, notice, not fruit, not more fruit, but much fruit. Now, the word for fall in verse 24 is also translated destitute of hope. Destitute of help. So every corn of wheat becomes destitute of help. No one around to help. We basically are removing ourselves from all the props that prop us up, that we lean on. And we simply say to God, Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't take control, if you're not in charge, then I'm going to fail so miserably that everybody will know. But he says, every corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. See, many of us don't like to be alone, but it's the alone time. It's the time in the desert, if you will, or for me, I call it going to the woods, just being alone with the Lord. That's what we need. And many times when God gives us alone time, even, you know, when we feel like, okay, we can't go out because of a virus or whatever, God's giving us alone time. The question is, what are we doing with it? Are we filling it with video games or TV or computer or Facebook? Somebody put it this way. Are you always into Facebook or do you have your face in the book? See, God's given us alone time. And he says, it will abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The statement is this: if you get tired of trying, just start dying. If you get tired of trying to please the Lord, trying to serve the Lord, but you're worn out, you're burned out, there's no fulfillment, then God is beginning to say, begin to die to yourself, die to your goals, die to your aspirations, die to your demands, and you'll begin to thrive. So verse 2 talks about more fruit. It's the opposite of self-contentment. It's the opposite of saying, I'm good, I'm fine. It is just the branch that is bearing fruit that the word comes more fruit. That's interesting. It's just to the branch that is already bearing fruit that the word comes more fruit. See, if he demands it, he enables it. Remember Philippians 2:13. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives you the desire and the ability to do what he's directing. Philippians 2:13. That means always showing us new areas for more effectiveness. New areas for more effectiveness. What can we do better? How can we improve? How can we reach more people? How can I have a ministry to more people? It's really a blessing that my wife and I started buying blueberry muffins from Costco. We'd put them in huge Ziploc bags because they're huge muffins. And we just started making drop-off visits. Wouldn't go in. We'd stand 3 feet away from the door, and our senior citizens would come to the door, and we'd reach out. They'd reach out. We'd hand them a muffin. But it was so neat because one of the ladies said, well, my goodness, I could do this. I love to bake. I could deliver some baked goods. And about 2 weeks later, ding dong, our doorbell rang. And there she was with some baked goods, just trying to be a blessing to us. What am I saying? I'm saying that we can be open to new ways to be a blessing, looking for needs. And so many times, we're just too spread out to do anything effectively. Too spread out. Well, that's why pruning takes place, because the branches have to store sap for fruit bearing, not just long shoots. Short shoots, but more sap for the fruit. And so consequently, the more vigorous the growth of the vine, the greater the need for pruning. I'll say that again. The more vigorous growth of the vine, the greater need for pruning. And that's why it's so vitally important for us to allow God to do the pruning, allow him to determine where we need to be cut and how often we need to be pruned. Because cleansing isn't just cutting out sin. It may also be cutting out religious activities that hinder fruit bearing. It just keeps us busy. I'm reminded of the statement, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Did you hear that? If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so many times God is saying, this may be nice, but it is hindering fruit bearing. And so consequently, we have to maybe cut back to spare us from things that just keep us busy. God wants us to be helpless and small so that his fruit, his sap, as it were, can be bringing forth more fruit. Now, verse 3, back in John chapter 15, talks about that pruning knife. That pruning knife. You know, the word is the pruning knife for you and me. And as we read his word, it's described as being sharper than a two-edged sword. It begins to deal with issues in my life that will help me to change my priorities. It may prune a job or a ministry that I truly love, but maybe it's not where he's wanting me to flourish. And so the word becomes my manual of operation. Did you ever get anything new and you just plugged it in and thought, oh, you know, it's working fine? I've got a dehumidifier in the basement like that. I just plugged it in. And a year and a half later, it was all frosted up and couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong with the thing. And now, I'm not mechanical. Anybody that knows me knows I am not mechanical. So we started looking for the manual. Now, isn't that a novel idea? Read the manual. And so when I read the manual, I found, oh, so this number is not the temperature. This number is the percentage of humidity. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it amazing what you learn when you read the manual? God's word is the manual. And see, affliction is designed to drive me to the word. And it's then that the healing process begins. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? It was just an affliction until the word of God came. Then there was healing of mind and emotions. Then there was rejoicing because then he had heard from God. He began to understand what God had in mind. And when God is pruning us, we need to be staying in the word, abiding in the word, and allowing God to change us. See, that's where we are changed into his identity. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, it's a change of identity. And so when that happens, I begin to learn that he's in control. I can trust and obey. Trust and obey. And when God removes me from other people, people that are dear friends I love to spend time with, maybe God is just trying to speak to me personally. He may be trying to point out fruit that I've never thought about before. You see, there are different kinds of spiritual fruit named in the Bible. We bear fruit when we win others to Christ, Romans 1:13. We're a part of the harvest, John 4:35-38. We grow in holiness and obedience and are bearing fruit, Romans 6:22. The Apostle Paul considered a Christian giving to be fruit from a dedicated life, Romans 15:28. Or there's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. And that's the kind of character that glorifies God and makes Christ real to other people. Even our good works, our service, grow out of our abiding life, Colossians 1:10. Lastly, the praise that comes from our hearts and lips is actually fruit to the glory of God, Hebrews 13:15. Lots of different kinds of fruit. That is the result of pruning. So forget about praying for the fullness of the Spirit, that's the sap stage, until you have allowed God to prune and then draw you close to himself, that you are able to learn to abide. Join us again next time as we continue. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.